Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Final hour has arrived. We heard Coach Harsin there talk about losing their best offensive lineman from a group that was already under a lot of criticism and the spotlight. So what's next for Auburn as Allen Green departs and the season is upon us? Two easy games to start and then it all begins. Brandon Marcello, who now is the national columnist for 24/7, he used to cover the Auburn beat, and I'm sure is thinking, man, are things sounding familiar on the plains. Brandon, good afternoon, and give us your view of what's happening on your former beat.
Well, number one, good luck to Nick Broms. He's a good kid. I covered him for a while and has a bright future ahead of him. Get well, buddy. It's a mess at Auburn. You know, we all kind of knew Allen Green was on his way out. It's just a matter of when, not if. It was going to happen at the latest in January or February when his contract expired. And he instead chose to try and get out before this upcoming football season and go pursue his other opportunities, which I expect him to stay in the athletics world and maybe be an AD somewhere here within the next calendar year, in fact. But Auburn's in a situation where we're going to see a lot of changes. It's up to really Brian Harsin whether he's going to be the coach next year there at Auburn, and the only way he can assure that himself of that is by winning games. That's all that really matters. So he has a losing season this year. He's going to be on very shaky ground, as we all know, but not knowing who your boss is going to be, but also knowing that you have a new-ish president there at Auburn University who's trying to get his own hands around the situation at Auburn and trying to get two or three different factions behind the scenes just involved with athletics on the same page. There's a lot of infighting, as we know, with Auburn. It's always kind of been like that. And now you're asking a new president who's very familiar with it because he's been at Auburn for years as a dean of a college there, but now he's the president. Can he be the one to wrangle this all together? Listen, Allen Green wasn't really able to do it. In fact, I think he got very tired of trying to deal with it. Allen Green, a very good fundraiser, a very good, I think, administrator, just was never quite a good fit at Auburn University. And for that matter, I'm not surprised, obviously, to see him step away, but I hope that he's able to get a similar size job, so to speak, in the near future, because I think he's going to be a tremendous athletics director at some point in the near future.
Brandon, you mentioned something interesting because the president's always critical. You had Jay Gouge, who retired, and then Steve Leish came along, and he was going to be different, and he got run pretty quickly. So now you have an Auburn person involved in charge who's been there forever and, yeah, has been good, obviously successful enough in navigating the landmines to be selected as the president. I bring that up because we all think about there's one person who runs Auburn, and that's Jimmy Raine. But you covered that beat. That is not exactly true, is it? And I want you to explain how these factions work and if it's even possible to get everyone to coalesce around one person.
I think a lot of people just think that it's pressure-treated wood that runs the university there, and that being Jimmy Raine, the CEO, the owner of Yellowwood. But you have other factions, one led by Raymond Harbert. And then you have some other boosters who aren't necessarily as big that take sides. But also you have some outside voices that used to be heavily involved that are still trying to have their voices heard that almost have to pick sides from time to time. it's going to be up to the next AD, and for that matter, it should really be up to the president right now to make a way to find out how they can get them all on the same page, or at least be on the same page most of the time instead of being two warring factions. I mean, they might not realize it, but they're hurting that university. They're hurting the athletics department, and it's in a big transition here. I mean, I think that you're going to see a lot of changes at Auburn. And listen, if Brian Harsin doesn't win this year, he's not going to be the coach next year, because it's going to be so much easier just to cut bait and start anew somewhere. But I will warn people of this, and it's like this at every university, and particularly true now at Auburn. They're at an inflection point in their history. You've gone outside the good old boy system to go get an AD who's a bright young guy who could have done very well there if he wasn't interfered with very much and told what to do all the time. That was Alan Green. Now you're in a position where you're probably going to have to go back with someone who is very familiar with Auburn. In fact, that would be the smart thing to do. But you need to get someone there who's very involved and knows Auburn, but why is it someone who brings people together instead of taking sides and feeding into that drama? And listen, the names that I always keep hearing that are the early candidates there are Tim Jackson, who has been a right-hand man for Jay Jacobs previously as the AD there. He's been there for 30-plus years. He still works in the athletics department. He's someone to look out for. Rich McGlynn, who runs their compliance department, formerly worked in the NCAA, got Bruce Pearl in the Auburn basketball program through their NCAA investigation. Very well-liked there and is very much a business-minded guy and understands the Auburn situation in all sports. And then also maybe David Benedict, who's currently the athletics director at UConn. He was one of the lieutenants under Jay Jacobs for a few years and was really big behind the scenes of getting some business deals done for them. So you got to go in and get someone who's familiar with Auburn, but one who's not afraid to try and unite everybody. How do you do that? That's a great question, but I don't think Auburn's in a spot now where you can go hire an outsider or someone who thinks differently or even is considered the best AD in the country unless they've got some type of ideas and understanding of Auburn. Because I'll tell you this, it's a job that people on the outside looking in, they don't want to touch, really. I think it'd take a lot of convincing to get someone to go in there to take that job because there's so many snakes in that pit.
You mentioned three good candidates, and I was in Birmingham the other night, and there was another faction pushing Randy Campbell, the former quarterback for Pat Dye. They're all fine on their own merit, Brandon, but you're still talking about a hired hand, and how are any of those guys going to be able to deal with essentially billionaires who are vying for power?
You've got to find someone who is willing. If you're the president at Auburn, you got to say, I will hire someone who is a quote-unquote hired hand, but you need to unite everybody and try to get us on the same page. Try to heal some of these wounds. Do not come in here thinking we can just continue to split things, because that is going to put Auburn in a dangerous situation. We are moving fast toward the future in college athletics, as you know, with NIL. Soon, players are going to be paid by these universities. You've got to start saving money in the athletics department with your revenue and everything, because at some point you're going to be cutting checks to players. You've also got to be thinking about facilities and then also, of course, the competition on the field. In Auburn, when it comes to football, that's what drives everything. And they have not been very successful over the last 3-4 years. And they're going down a dangerous road right now. The recruiting's not quite up to snuff, but that can easily be turned around here in the next couple of months. And obviously the winning hasn't been going on. If you continue down that road, and let's say you make a change at head coach, and then you bring someone in and they struggle for another year or two, you're putting yourself in position to be the quote-unquote next Tennessee, where you're sitting there for a decade trying to dig yourself out of a hole that is somewhat self-inflicted. How do you do that? Auburn's president, who understands Auburn as much as anybody, and I understand Auburn quite a bit, being there for nearly a decade, get someone there who understands these factions but knows how to bring them together and work together. Because listen, if you were able to bring everybody together at Auburn and put all these millionaires at the same table and have them agreeing on certain things, Auburn would be a powerhouse. But right now, they shoot themselves in the foot way too often.
It seems to me and everyone else, Brandon, that winning does solve this. But by the time this decision is made, we will know what Brian Harsin's future looks like. It could be decided very early if things don't go well. It could be a long jury verdict. But it at some point in the middle of the year or toward the end, you know this AD is going to be in place, especially if Harsin is hanging by a thread. And then what? I'm not trying to run Brian Harsin out, but the names are already flying down there. You know that. You may not live there any longer, but it doesn't take long. I really don't know how you unite people unless you unite them, assuming Harsin does not work out, behind a specific candidate. And is there one out there?
That's the great question. And then also, I think you can sell hope to a lot of these folks at Auburn. When you're coming into a position of transition, you want something familiar that's kind of a touchstone there. I think Auburn's got that in the president there. Again, he's been there for years, for decades. He understands it. But does he understand it enough, one, about timing, about when he brings in the new AD, who he brings in at AD, and whether that AD, as I said, perfectly encapsulates what Auburn is, but also the ability to unite this family. Again, I keep saying this, Auburn's like that family that you know is fighting inside a lot, but more times than not, their fights spill out into the front yard and the whole neighborhood gets to watch. Now they're looking for a new stepdaddy, you know, to come in and patch things up. For Auburn, they probably ought to turn back to their original daddy, so to speak, their original dad to come in that understands the situation. Don't bring in a new person in. Bring someone in who is very familiar with what's going on in that household. Because, again, if you get everybody on the same page there at Auburn, I know it sounds impossible, but I think when we're at the inflection point where this is so critical of a time that you've got to be on the same page, and there's an opportunity here to build Auburn into something that is sustainable and not just successful, but a championship-type program year after year after year, Auburn has the people, the pieces, the facilities in place to do that. They just got to get them all together. Is that impossible? No. Is it improbable? I don't know. But you got to bring in the right person to do that. You got to bring in an AD who has Auburn connections. And I know Auburn fans might not want to hear that. But listen, you can get someone from inside the house there that understands things, but also is willing to move things forward and try to turn a new page for the program.
Okay, assuming that happens, and I agree, it's going to happen. What do you think, if you had to make a call right now on the final record for Brian Harsin, what is it?
I'm going to say he goes 6-6 this year. I think there's a very real possibility that they're 4-1 or 5-0 to start the season because of the schedule, the way it sets up. Of course, you got Penn State week 3, LSU, I think, week 5. Those are critical. If he splits those, he'll be okay going into October, but then it puts so much more pressure on him to win games like Mississippi State and Arkansas there in late October, early November. If he loses both those games against LSU and Penn State in the month of September, every week will be on Brian Harsin watch, in my opinion. He's got to win at least one of those games, but if he loses both, we'll be talking about his job status every single Saturday from October until whenever a decision's made.
Brandon Marcello, always great to have you on. Thank you, Brandon. We will talk to you soon. We head to the break. It has been a busy one here this afternoon, and we have plenty of time for you to get on board here when we come back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, it starts this week, Out of Pocket, Alyssa and Dre, Wednesday, 7 p.m. Let's get back to the phones and check in with Dino in Arizona. Hello, Dino.
Hey, where you at, Paul? How you doing, baby?
Dino, great to hear from you again.
It's been a while, man. It's been a while. The last 2 years has been a freaking nightmare, man. But I got a couple of questions for you. What's the real backstory, if there is any, on Miles Brennan after waiting so long for his chance? And the second part of my question is, the Brian Kelly move here, is that a stepping stone for Brian Kelly, or does he really want to make LSU a long-term destination?
I don't have a lot of new information on Miles Brennan other than I think he looked around and did not like what he was seeing with a new setup and new coordinators and a new head coach. As far as Brian Kelly, I believe Brian Kelly went to LSU for all the reasons that he said, knowing that the ceiling had been reached at Notre Dame. He could not recruit well enough to advance beyond the playoff first round. And I think he's also said to himself, if Les Miles could play for a couple of national championships and Ogeron put himself in a position to not only win one, but have a contender, I can do that. I'm a better coach than both those guys on my worst day, which he is. Brian Kelly's a top five coach, and there's talent on this team. Have one of the best players in the country at receiver. So watch out. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Ed in Vegas is up next. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have a simple question about the Auburn situation. Out here in Las Vegas, of course, there's betting lines on everything. And in Vegas parlance, what do you think the over and under is on Brian Harsin? More than 30 days? Less than 30 days? What do you think?
Yeah, I think based on what Marcelo said, the schedule does set up well for him. You got two cupcakes. You then play Penn State, which is really the only thing James Franklin has done at Penn State is continue to milk the school for new contracts. He had one really good team that competed for had a shot at winning it all, and it didn't because it didn't get in the playoffs. So, and then it's LSU. I think the LSU game is as important in some ways as the Penn State game. And if he loses either one of those games, I think it really puts him in a terrible spot because the back end of the schedule is almost insufferable. So thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Great to hear from you. Dr. Mel is up next.
Hey, Paul, how are you all this evening?
Mel, we are doing great.
Good to hear you, boys. Good to hear you, boys. Just a quick comment about my coach, Coach Saban. You know, a lot of people, Paul, say that, you know, will he be able to stay the entirety of his contract? And I think absolutely so. I turned 71 in July. Coach Saban will turn 71 in October. And, of course, he and I have the old school work ethic. And Linda will tell you, as much as she loves medicine, as you love your programming, once your occupation become a passion, it's no longer a occupation. And so I actually retired from the hospital about a year ago. But I have a consulting practice. I'm up every morning at 4:15 a.m., get the day started. We'll help raising one of our grandsons. Isaac is 11, and so I'll conclude my evening probably about 9:30 or 10, and I'll be back up at 4 a.m., and Coach Saban has the same work ethic. So I'm not a gambling man, but I promise he will finish up the 7-year new contract.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to argue with you in terms of your medical knowledge. And I think I completely agree with what you said in his passion. But ultimately, it depends on other circumstances. And what I wonder about, though, is the sustainability without having a hiccup. And that's the thing that has been the most impressive about Nick Saban since his first year got out of the way. He hasn't had a bad year. Everyone points to 2010 when, what did they lose? Three games that year, but they ended up well. They won an impressive bowl game, and they set up two more national championships. And since then, he hasn't lost more than two games. The problem is, you roll the dice, I think, Mel. And does it become more difficult? The reason I think it becomes more difficult isn't Nick Saban. It's what he's fighting every day. I mean, he's fighting some legitimate sharks, okay? You just can't keep fighting them without getting bit once in a while. And by getting bit, that's maybe a 10-2, 9-3 season. Can it happen? Hasn't happened yet, other than that one time. And that's the only reason I'm somewhat skeptical. But you have to say you're going to be there. Right now, you can't say – I've seen coaches – Spurrier said that a couple – right before he ended it at South Carolina, he gave a namby-pamby answer. How long are you going to be here? He said a year or two. He immediately got crushed in recruiting. And that's part of the reason why Nick Saban continues to play this, whether it's a game or whether it's real. I really don't know. I know what he's said, and I have to believe him. But 70 and 77, 78, 79, you're a doctor. You know the difference. Larry knows the difference. Larry, you feel any different at 70 than you do at whatever you are right now?
Well, if you've been my road, most people would. I don't. I'm kicking like a chicken, but yeah, I have some heart issues. But
that's the other part of this. Is it how long? I mean, I think by most accounts, Nick Saban is very healthy. A lot of people are healthy as a horse, assuming that's a real thing, until they're 80s. I mean, the President of the United States is almost 80 years old. I mean, he hasn't shown any signs of age, has he? He doesn't look a day over 79.
That's right. Hey, check that out. Brian Kelly ain't no top five coach. Man, you got a problem.
Well, we got a serious problem because I think he is one of them.
I think he's a bummer. What has he done lately? Nothing. He's just going for the big buyout.
Two years ago, he had Notre Dame in the playoffs. You may remember that.
Get the ass kicked. I remember it.
That's true, by 17 points.
Hey, listen, I'll get y'all to playoffs.
Hey, Larry, he got beat by 17 points. Your team lost by double digits last year in the fourth quarter. Nick Saban said afterwards to Kirby Smart, "You guys kicked our ass in the fourth quarter." I mean, you do remember that, don't you?
I told you, I'm on beer number 7. I don't remember nothing. I'm sorry. What now?
What was the final score, Jamari?
On beer number 7.
I don't remember, Paul. I'm on beer number 7.
18.
I have amnesia. Oh,
that's 15 points, isn't it? You lost by essentially the same score that you just got through laughing about, Brian Kelly losing to Nick Saban.
Why did we beat Georgia by in the playoffs, SEC championship?
Who
cares? You never mentioned that.
You know why, Larry? I was in Alabama the other day. I've been to Alabama 10 times this year, and I've been to Tuscaloosa. I've been to Birmingham. I've been to other places. And do you know that I've never seen an SEC championship flag hanging on anybody's car?
Well, bring your ass by my house and look at my truck. You got that right. I'm proud of them for that, man. I mean, we went 1-1 with the champions, so that's like boxing. If you take Mike Tyson goes against this
any idea how utterly ridiculous that statement is?
If it comes from me, it's true blue. It's not ridiculous.
Do you have any idea how pathetic you sound when you make that statement?
That ain't pathetic. That's just fact, Jack.
Hey, Larry, do you know who makes statements like that?
Hey, man, see, you're trying to get, yeah, see
no,
that, see
I'll tell you,
I'll
tell you who
do.
Makes statements like that. Losers make statements like that, not winners.
See, just because you got that little button, red button down there, you think you something, Big Daddy. Well, I got news for you. I'm the man with the plan. And what I say
hey, Larry,
goes.
You can talk until now, the end of the show, but you're sounding like a loser. LSU once won the SEC championship and lost to Alabama in the national championship. I didn't see anybody bragging about.
Yeah, I checked this out. You know, we're going to be the Empire Strikes Back this time, this year. When they come out of the tunnel, it's going to be that theme song from Empire Strikes Back, Jack. And we're going to put some ass whooping on some people.
I didn't realize John Williams was an Alabama fan.
Hey, yeah. And you wait, man. They're going to play that song coming out of the tunnel. And these people are going to pay
for Larry, this. Do you know what? When they play that song, you're still going to be a 15-point loser to Georgia in the national championship game. You got that, Jack? We're up against a break. 30 minutes remaining right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And yet another season begins Saturday morning. How many is this? I've lost track. Eight or nine. Started in 14, so figure it out. I guess I should. SEC Nation live from Fayetteville. And we are back, and we've had some big-time callers tonight, but none compared to this man. Legend is next.
Woo! Tell it like it is, Paul Feinbaum. Elvis just walked in the room.
Woo!
Hey, Paul, I'm going to go ahead and agree with you. Hey, Georgia's the national champion. They put us on the mat, 1, 2, 3. They deserve respect. I give them they do. Hell, Ken Norton won the title one time. You know what happened?
Sure did.
Yeah, you know, Leon Spinks won it one time. Hell, it happens, you know. Georgia ought to be proud. This is the kind of thing you cherish for 40 years.
Boom.
But here's the real test, Paul, and you know it because you know football, unlike 80% of your callers and 80% of your guests. You know football, so you know the real test when it comes to Georgia football starts this year. Because if you want to be an Alabama, if you want to be a godfather, if you want to be a kingpin, one time ain't good enough, Paul. Now every year, if you want to be on our level, Paul, every loss is devastating. Two losses, and it's a failed season. And this is the real test now. Do you agree or don't you agree, Paul?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can get there. But the sustainability of Nick Saban, that's his greatest accomplishment.
Absolutely. 24 losses in 15 years. I mean, come on, Kirby, Georgia. If you want to be us, and believe me, we ought to get a gift basket every day from you chumps, because the only reason you got a championship was because you copied everything we did. Now, I give you credit. It worked for you. But will it continue to work for you? And I just have to say, the fact that you got five-star quarterbacks as backups to a leprechaun is a real bad sign to me. Because Stetson Bennett ain't nothing but a shorter version of Jay Barker. And if you coach don't realize that, believe me, I don't believe you're going to get anywhere close to another national championship again. Paul, it's game week, baby. I'm ready to talk ball, baby. All that kind of squirrel and Jim with their emotions, it's over with, baby. It's ball time. Are you pumped, brother? I know I'm pumped.
Oh, yeah.
You pumped?
I'm more pumped after this call.
Hell yeah, tee it up, hit him with the flex. And let me say, I agree with Larry on something, and I disagree with you, brother. I don't think Brian Kelly is a top five coach, and I'm going to tell you why. I think that's a bunch of bull crap. He didn't have talent at Notre Dame. I know my offensive line in Indianapolis is anchored by Quentin Nelson, a modern-day Conrad Dobler, and there's been a line of offensive linemen head to the NFL from Notre Dame, including safeties like Kyle Hamilton. I tell you what's wrong with Brian Kelly. It's that 1980 Georgia-ass deep offense that he runs that hasn't caught up with college football in the least. And when he brings that to LSU, I agree with Greg McElroy. And Mac and Cole's been good. If anybody ain't been listening in Birmingham, start listening. I've been listening. Good show. He picked LSU last in the SEC West. Five new offensive linemen, a whole new secondary, Paul. Yeah, they got the best receiver in college football, but they also got a coach with a 1980 offense that ain't going to work in modern-day SEC. He's a bust, Paul, and he's damn sure not a top-five coach in the country. You telling me you can't name five coaches better than Brian Kelly? Come on, Paul, you know better than that. You just SEC-ing now, ain't you?
Legend, I refuse to answer that question on the grounds that it may incriminate me.
You know I love you, dude. And let me say this. Let me say this about week zero. First of all, they need to get an elite game for week zero. That sound like that was like preseason if I've ever seen preseason.
That was a good congratulations to Fox for having that big first game.
Really, that was horrible, man. And let me say this about Nebraska. You are the Auburn Tigers of the Midwest. That's what you are. You are a once proud program that now can't even get up to respectability. And it ain't no mistake that they mistake Scott Frost for the coach down there at Auburn, old Sinful, whatever his name is, because they're on the same hot seat in the same sinking boat with two programs that once were proud programs that are now Titanic, sinking in the sea and soon to be forgotten about. And that's the real reality. My second take from week zero, Drake May of North Carolina is a future superstar. And with receivers like Josh Downs, a day one receiver, the next year's draft, North Carolina is a threat in the ACC, baby. I'm ready, Paul. It's week one, baby. It's week one. I got football running down my ears, out of my nose. I got this to say. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Yes, baby. Ladies and gentlemen, calm down. Because Elvis has left the building.
Wow. That's a call. That's a big one. Matt is in New Orleans. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, man, that Brian Kelly won the first Joe Moore Award. Beautiful statue. Have you ever seen that trophy?
I have.
He put the team that won the first one. He'll put one here together at LSU. But I like the legends of amusing caller. Nevertheless, Kelly's a good coach, but I called to tell you about three quarterback things. You got to give me some credit. I did say Finley was going to win in Auburn, didn't I?
You sure did.
But you know, he's with the right guy. He's going to listen to Harsin. he wouldn't listen to Coach O. He would just hold on that ball and run with it because he's such a big guy, you know, like Jamarcus. He's going to break him of that, you know. He's going to break him that Jamarcus Russell and make a great start. But anyway, also, I got to tell you, Paul, I got to tell you, Danny Elfman got in on the Saints game. He's the second-team quarterback. They can't get rid of my boy. Danny Elfman ran the touchdown in for Green Bay to beat my Saints, man. I said, well, at least I got my boy to run. And thirdly, I got to respond to Dino because Dino is my favorite. Him and Mr. Andre make my – I miss Chris. I don't know why Chris don't call. But I love – but see, Brennan had all the muscles attached to his pelvis detached. They wanted to create a certain operation to heal him. But you don't heal something like that. It's never going to be the same. Am I right?
I think you are, and I'm not a surgeon.
Yeah, well, I am, as you know. And, wait a minute, I'm retired. But look, no, I'm serious. I know it's a fact that this poor kid, you got to be more. They do have a young offensive line. Got some five stars and some transfers and all that. But the one five star, I know. But the whole point is, he's not mobile enough to break in a new line. They'll kill that boy, and he's Brennan. But my goodness, he did everything he could for LSU. It's time for him to sit back and let a younger guy go in, you know? I really believe that the other fellow, Stetson Bennett, needs to continue. He's got great heart, and he does a lot for the conference and for Georgia, you know? What do you think?
Yeah, Matt, up against the break. We'll finish that thought in a minute. We have a couple of minutes remaining. We hope you'll stick around.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sweeten your business purchases with American Express Blue Business Cash, the card that makes everyday expenses extra rewarding. You'll earn 2% cash back on your first $50,000 in purchases per year, and then 1% after that, so you can treat your bottom line and give your business a helpful boost, swipe after swipe. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/bluebusinesscash. Amex Blue Business Cash, built for business by American Express.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
A few minutes remaining, and Jack has been holding on. Jack is in Florida. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Thank you.
I have two basic points or questions that I would like to have your opinion on. One is, as you know, I'm a diehard Texas Longhorn fan, and I've called before, talked about how Texas has been mired in the Daryl Royal past, despite the great job that Mack Brown did. That it's never found any traction in the modern, you know, era of college football. And do you believe that the Sarkisian Quinn Ewers ordeal and the great players, by the way, that they've been able to bring in, do you think that this is really a new beginning for Texas football? What is your instinct telling you about what kind of season they might have this year, despite that Alabama's going to beat them 100-0? We know that's going to happen. My second question is, and I state this as a caller and a former producer, by the way, for a radio news network. I get a really question some of these callers that are allowed, like Legend and all these people, to call. I really think that they're not funny. I think they're stupid. And I think they bring down the quality of the program. I believe most of your listeners are people who want to hear your opinions because you are a true expert in this field. And they also, I think, want to hear just, you know, intelligent thoughts and insights about football and college football, et cetera. And some of the rhetoric is just, to me, it's offensive. I found myself, you know, changing the channel several times now. And maybe I just should bail out as a listener. But I just don't find those guys very entertaining. I find them stupid. And And I know that you're trying to tap into, you know, the blue collar good old boy element in the Southeast, and I get that, and it's there, and I agree. On the other hand, there's a part of me as a former producer who thinks you guys ought to put a big gong right there in the middle of your deal, and whenever they get going too far, just hit the gong and shut them off. Anyway, my question is, do you believe that maybe some of that should be cut back, especially, by the way, when they start criticizing you to the degree that they do and tearing you down, when we all know it's wrong and stupid, but they're allowed to take up a lot of airtime to do that? I really have questions about that. Anyway, those are two things that I really kind of wanted your opinion on.
Let me quickly answer the first part. I believe this is, I think we're getting some feedback there. I think Texas is close to coming back, and I think Sarkisian is capable. The second part of your question, I appreciate what you said, and obviously you're well versed in our industry, being a former producer. But I will defend the right. I will defend the right of the caller to my final dying day on this program, whether that's today or some other time in the future. I don't really care if they criticize me or not. I feel like I'm just part of the furniture here. And if you don't like the show, I think you ought to be heard. This is not an authoritarian program. To me, callers have a right to say whatever they want. Doesn't matter. You criticize Nick Saban, criticize the SEC, criticize me, especially me. And do you have a problem with them criticizing me, Randy?
No, not
I mean, you are the floor manager, after all. So I feel very passionate about that. I don't mean to take too much time away from the next caller, but I genuinely believe that callers are why we are on the air. You can line up 1,000 wind-up talk show hosts and tell you how much they know about everything, and that's great. There are plenty of shows like that. But I think what has always separated and distinguished this show from the rest is that the callers, those who don't have a voice anywhere else, can be heard here. And it is my fervent hope that that will continue. But thank you for your call, though.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.